We know the words of the apostle when he talked about charity suffereth long. Now, it's very, and I think many of us have memorized, that's one chapter of the Bible we do love to memorize. We love to get that into our hearts, and it's a great chapter to memorize. But it's one thing to memorize, it's another thing to live it. Charity suffereth long. That means there are things that are going to irk you, things that rub you the wrong way, things that get you all worked up. But charity, the love of Christ, agape love, the love of Christ is in view here. And if you are a Christ-like Christian, living in the fullness and partakers of that divine nature, you're going to show this love that suffers long. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're reading today from 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of agape love. And I'm doing this because we're going to be looking at the Beatitude, where the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful." And in this chapter 13, of course, we have the call to act charitably or lovingly. And the apostle says here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall feel, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And so the call to live as a Christian, to live as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, is that we might be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And of course, this is to live in the realm of mercy. And that affects our homes, it affects our churches, it affects our ministries, it affects how we witness in the world. We call men to receive mercy. And of course, we point to Christ, who is the great mercy, one who bestows mercy to those who are guilty. And so all of our lives really is a gospel witness when we are carrying out this command. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So stay tuned as we move now to our church pulpit for the ministry of the Lord's Word here today on Blessed Are the Merciful. We know the words of the apostle when he talked about charity suffereth long. Now it's very, and I think many of us have memorized, that's one chapter of the Bible we do love to memorize. We love to get that into our hearts, and it's a great chapter to memorize. But it's one thing to memorize, it's another thing to live it. Charity suffereth long. That means there are things that are going to irk you, things that rub you the wrong way, things that get you all worked up. But charity, the love of Christ, agape love, the love of Christ is in view here. And if you are a Christ-like Christian, living in the fullness and partakers of that divine nature, you're going to show this love that suffers long. Now, I don't advise the story of the person who says, you know, I'm always tempted to cuff that person when he gets in my face. And the advice given, of course, is, well, count to 10. Every time you're tempted to do that, just count to 10. And so he comes back the next day, I did what you told me. And when he came up to me, I just felt like cuffing him, and I counted to 10, and then I hit him. Now, that's not the suffering long that Paul is mentioning here. But it, rather, is true love. Suffers long and is kind. The intent is to see the good of the person, not to do them harm and evil. Charity envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. And there's the problem, our selfishness, seeking our own. And I've considered this seeking her own as being fixated on self. Now, you wouldn't want to be married to a person like that. You really wouldn't. A person who's always fixated on self, who's always uptight about what people think or say about them, very edgy and touchy about anything about self, and always self-focused, and in any situation or decision, well, what about me? That really is the opposite to this display of mercy. And here is the believer, the Christian, taking that position where they will extend mercy and deal favorably, not contending for their own corner, but displaying a generous spirit that they might become a blessing and bring that person into blessing. And we would say that this is the oil that will make relationships work. And again, we say start at home. This is the focus of displaying this mercy. And this is the answer for marriages and for families. And it's not just for little children, teenagers as well. And if we had our teenagers here tonight, we'd have to mention this, that the way to get along, with the way to be a blessing, and this is really what God wants you to be, a blessing, is to extend mercy. Children have to forgive parents too, you know. And it's a good thing sometimes for parents to come alongside and say, look, I was a bit hard there, or I made a swift decision, I wouldn't do that again, I want you to forgive me. But there are children who don't show this merciful spirit, and they become very harsh and very critical and very cold to parents. And what a horrible, horrible situation that is. What a burden that becomes, what a guilt and a weight that becomes upon parents. And so the first place, the first focus of displaying mercy ought to be in the home, in the family. Next, I will mention the poor of this world. They need our mercy. And I'm not thinking here just forgiveness for wrongdoing, but they need our assistance and they need our support. Now, Christians are known for being soft. And that's why there are people, they'll phone around churches and say, have you a program to help for this and that? And people will try to take advantage of Christians, because they're known as generous, they're known as straight up and honest, and they're not deceitful, and they like to help. That's the way Christians are. That's the way they ought to be. And the people around us know that. And so they come for our help. And in this, there's a danger of making what is known as rice Christians. Those who make some profession of interest, either in the church or in the Lord, and they say, well, you know, I'm just struggling and I want to get into this, but I need your help. And so they go around almost like beggars, and they take advantage of ministries and churches and Christians, and they're always seeking help and so on. And yet, better to err on the side of generosity. Better to be a Christian and act like a Christian. And better to be taken in at times than to be known, oh, there's no mercy there. Better to lose a few dollars here and there. I'm not one bit worried about standing before God on the judgment day and saying, look, Ian, you gave away $100 to a fraudster, a real hoax. God won't condemn me for that. But if I harden my heart to those in genuine need and those that need a little bit of a lift up in this world, and I have no interest in helping them, then I am not like my Lord Jesus. I am not the merciful man that I need to be. And surely the very fact that we're in Christian ministry ought to be that we want to extend mercy, especially the message of God's forgiveness and pardon. We want to be a part of that solution to see people delivered from the burdens of guilt. We want to have a ministry of mercy. And of course, that starts at the cross and preaching the way of salvation. But there are those times that we've got to do it in a practical way. And in that, we can do so too. Then there's the soul that's in debt. And that's why I wanted to read Matthew 18 and that whole account of that person who was owing 10,000 talents. What a tremendous debt. 10,000 talents. I couldn't even begin to calculate what that would be in today's currency. I would have to do a lot of figuring. I wouldn't be sure I'd get it right. And this fellow was going to be sold, and his wife sold, and his children sold to pay the debt. And he pleaded mercy, and the creditor forgave him. He forgave him the debt. And then in turn, for 100 pence, he would have someone who owed him cast into prison. No mercy. And when the previous creditor found out, the king found out, he was a king, well, he was by no means pleased. Now, if I understand that story at all, that's a picture of what the Lord has done for us. God has forgiven me the 10,000 talents, the almost incalculable sum, the infinite pardon that I have received, and the mercy that God has extended to me. And now to my brother, to my friend, to whoever, and I do not show mercy, that will be anything but pleasing to the Lord and the God of heaven. How can we pray? How can we get on our knees and say, now, Lord, I plead your mercy to help me through my difficulties, when we've had nothing but a ministry of misery to others? And that's why surely in the Lord's Prayer that we ask God to forgive us as we forgive our debtors. The Christian is to be the merciful man and woman. And even on our knees, we can be honest before God that where there was repentance, a turning of heart and attitude, that we were ready to forgive every time, every time. And the church has to be ready, and the Christian has to be ready to minister to the repentant sinner. Now, there's an area I really don't like talking much about that I thought I would introduce here, and that is, how do we minister to people in vices that are perverted? The sodomite, the lesbian, the one that is really in a lifestyle that's so ungodly and contrary to Scripture and to Christ. How are we going to minister to them? If you've ever read the story of Rosaria Butterfield, she was in a lesbian relationship, and by God's amazing grace was converted from it and went along to hear the gospel in a Reformed Baptist church. And she ended up marrying a minister of the gospel. Now, I don't think it was that minister of that church. She was ministered to for many weeks in a very gentle, compassionate manner, and by God's amazing grace was delivered from that lifestyle to repent of it, to see it as ungodly and unclean, and in turning to God in mercy that she might use her life for God's glory, and has done so. And so there is salvation. The first thing that we need to realize, that the gospel covers such perversity. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us about such were some of you, the Corinthian Christians. Some of them had been living perverted lifestyles, and the gospel triumphed in their lives. And so rather than saying, well, these people are beyond God's help, they need our help. These are the very people that need the gospel and need deliverance, although they will deny it. They will say, we're living the life. We're now have come out of the closet. We've been set free from the bondage of previous years. Let's face it, they're in damnable bondage. And they need the gospel. And we will certainly desire to minister the gospel to them, although we do not always feel at ease in such environment or people who certainly proudly portray that lifestyle. It's very difficult for a Christian to do that. And yet I think in this generation and in the rising generation, they're going to face that more and more. And the Christian church needs to be ready to minister to the least, the last, and the most sinful around us. And that becomes a ministry of mercy, of mercy. If we shut the door to such and we say we have no interest in ministering to you, I believe we grieve the one who has pardoned us. And while I hate the sin and I hate the lifestyle, surely God is gracious to convert and save and turn people to Christ. Then there's the lost, perishing souls all around us. It would seem the Lord Jesus, every time that he was in a crowd, he was moved with compassion. Remember that when he saw the multitudes, that they were as sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. When he entered Jerusalem, he saw the city under condemnation. He was moved with compassion. And various times when there were crowds feeding the 5,000, he was moved with compassion on them. Every time he saw a crowd, he was impressed with the need of souls. Does that happen to you? Maybe at an airport, and you look around that sea of faces of people coming and going at that place, of people crisscrossing on their travels. What a world of need there is. People of all nationalities and cultures that need the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You might even be traveling on SkyTrain. The last time I did that, I couldn't even get a seat. I had to stand. The SkyTrain was full of people. And while you have half an hour or so on board with people of all walks of life, you begin to realize these are needy souls. It does that to you. If you're like the Lord Jesus, if you have this spirit, this attitude of mercy, you'll begin to say, what an impoverished life many live without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And that's surely why Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. There's a necessity that's laid upon me. We must extend mercy. So that becomes the focus. But I believe it starts at home. And it spreads in our everyday walk. And then among the multitudes. And certainly in our church ministry. We don't want to shut the door to the needy of this world. And may the Lord make every one of us like our Lord Jesus, who ministered to the prostitutes, the blind, the abject of society, never cast them away. And even the Gentile that the Jew couldn't understand, the Lord had a word of mercy when he ministered to them. Then I want to just close tonight with a thought on God's rewards for showing mercy. The Proverbs tells us that the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. This becomes now a tonic to us. This becomes a ministry of mercy to others that really is a blessing to us. And we become, therefore, truly the blessed man. If you want a good day, then seek ways by which you might extend mercy. There are also eternal rewards. I read in the New Testament about a man called Onesiphorus that ministered to Paul the Apostle in his needs, in jail, and in his home. And Paul said, the Lord reward him on that day. And I'm not sure what was going on. Onesiphorus seems to have been out of the picture for some reason, although he had been a man who ministered greatly to the apostle and was very kind and generous to him. And Paul says, the Lord be merciful to him on that day. There's a day of rewards. And when we do sow in mercy, we will reap those wonderful rewards. And let me emphasize that this is the Christian who's called to show mercy. It's not just the fruit of a new nature, but it is the calling of the Lord upon us. And we are commanded in that way to display the grace of the gospel in our lives. Now, if you're not a Christian, let me say, being merciful to others will not save your soul. That same chapter of love, the apostle says, though I give my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And so this is not the way to become a Christian. It's not the way to get into the family of God, but it is the nature of children of God. It is the attitude, the zeal and the desire that we may truly live Christ-like lives. Now, our Lord Jesus had to go all the way to the cross that he may be merciful to us. It cost him. And there is an earthly cost to being a merciful person, a merciful Christian. As I said earlier, it may cost you. You might be defrauded and deceived, and you might be taken advantage of. Well, the Lord knows all about that. And I think the Lord will reward the time when we're taken advantage of just as much as the time when we met a genuine need. And he will restore it and reward it. And so here is this beatitude, the mark of the blessed man. All the others are internal. What happens inside of us, poverty of heart, mourning, being meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But now externally there's now a new outward demonstration of Christ-likeness, displaying mercy. I trust that you will be a father like that, and a mother like that, or a wife like that, or a husband like that. And I would pray for children that they would be like that too. We've got to teach our children and guide them in the ways of mercy. I remember many, many times raising our children, I said to them, you know, and they'll come and say, Daddy, that's not fair. I will say, look, God doesn't always give us what's fair. He deals in mercy. And he often deals in far more, and indeed always, than we deserve. And with that spirit, that attitude, and that's why I like that quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones at the very beginning of the notes there, that this attitude is the new man, the new Christian, the outworking of a life in Christ. And what a blessing, what a joy it brings to homes, to hearts, and to your own heart. And if you want to live a fulfilled life, a blessed, enjoyable life, be merciful. That's the bottom line of what we've been learning here tonight. And I trust that you'll pray about it and seek that opportunity. Take the first step. Seek the opportunity. Lord, tomorrow, Monday, tomorrow, give me an opportunity to display the mercy of Christ in some way to some soul. Pray about it. Just don't say this is a great idea. Pray that you might have that opportunity. And I tell you, you'll have a blessed day. You will have a blessed day tomorrow if God opens up that opportunity and you take it. And do it in Jesus' name, for his glory, that you may so honor him.
Yes, I stand in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, and there was multiplied to me. There my burden so on liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learn. Then I tremble at the law I'd spurn, till my guilty soul imploring turned to multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. love that true salvation spread. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty.
With the hungering, the thirsting, the desiring, and then the enjoyment of mercy, and then the responsibility to show mercy. Now, we are called or commanded to show mercy to men. This is a command for every professing Christian. If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, this is part of having that uniform on. You are to be equipped to show mercy to those in need. You are not to be hard-hearted, not to be shutting the door, but to be opening up to the needs that are so often around us, and we even have to pray for eyes to see those needs. Now, I mentioned in the message that being merciful will not save your soul. Just dwell on that for a moment. Even though you were to give your goods to feed the poor and give everything away, you would not become a Christian by your giving. It's not your giving that saves your soul. It's your getting. It is by receiving the gift of grace, the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus, who purchased redemption at the cross. And so by showing mercy and doing good is not the way into God's family, but it is the attitude of a family member, one who is already in. Now, these are really just little pointers, but I trust that they are helps that will fix these things in your mind, that you will live out that very mercy of God, and that you will obtain mercy. You will be blessed more and more because you're obeying the Lord and showing forth the very mark of a Christian in demonstrating mercy to those around you. May the Lord bless you today. Stay tuned now for the closing announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.